Great to have you here this morning, and just let me pray for you and us, and then we'll jump into what God has for us this morning. Father, thank you for a beautiful day you've given us, and we look out and we see your creative handiwork and the beauty, and Father, you are the creator of all. We thank you that you not only created us, you've created all creation, and we praise you, Father, today that we can come into this place. And we have more than 10,000 reasons to sing and to praise your name and to worship you. Father, thank you. Thank you for how you've created us. Thank you that we can be here to worship you this morning. And Father, as we continue in our series this morning, I pray that you will speak to us, that you will, God, allow your spirit to speak to our spirits and give us what we need this morning as we come to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I was thinking this past week that I've spent almost 40 years of my life journeying with people who had struggled with mental illness or emotional struggles. I've spent a number of years, as you know, as a pastor. Before that, I was a paramedic in Vancouver and worked in the downtown east side on Skid Row and in the downtown core for almost all of my career there, and spent a lot of years journeying with people that had serious mental health struggles. And one of the things that was always interesting to me is there was a major multi-building complex called Riverview out in Coquitlam. And it's where they housed people who had mental illnesses that needed to be institutionalized for treatment. And yet what I never understood is going right through, there was a road that went through all these complexes. In the middle of this this road was a bus stop. And so the psychiatric patients could get on the bus and go to downtown Vancouver. And what would happen is they'd get off the bus in downtown Vancouver, and they'd hang around in downtown Vancouver, and then they'd walk into the Vancouver Police Department and said, "You're probably looking for us. I'm an escapee from Riverview." And sure enough, they'd check on the computer, and a mental health warrant had been put out for them. But then what they would do is they'd have to call the ambulance service, and the ambulance service would have to come and pick them up and would have to literally taxi them back to Riverview. And we did that all the time in the late afternoon, in rush hour, of course, out to Riverview. And so this one day, we went there, and I was attending, and we picked up two patients who had left Riverview and put them in the back of the ambulance, and we were taxiing them out to Riverview, and we were having a conversation, and I said to the one guy, "So why did you get on the bus and come downtown today?" And he said, "'Cause God told me to." To which the other guy replied, "I did not." And that began a very interesting conversation that carried on for the better part of an hour. You know, as I've journeyed with people for the better part of 40 years with mental health illness, there's some conclusions I've come to. And one is, as human beings, we are very complex creatures. And mental illness is a complex illness that impacts people biologically, psychologically, socially, and spiritually. Another conclusion I've come to as a pastor is the church doesn't speak about mental illness nearly enough. And that's why we're doing this series called Unspoken. We started last week, and I gave you an introduction. I'm going to continue that this week. Today's an overview, a continuing overview. And then next week, we're going to get into some specific struggles that people have. And next week, we're going to start with the number one struggle that people have, which is anxiety. But today, I want to talk about us being fearfully and wonderfully made. But before we do that, let me just recap a couple of things from last week. If you weren't here, we started last week by defining mental illness this way. Mental illness is a disease causing mild to significant disturbances in a person's thinking, behavior, or emotions, or all three, in a way that impacts a person's ability to cope with life. And we saw last week that mental illnesses exist on a spectrum from mild to severe, from a season of life to a lifelong struggle. As I just mentioned, this week I want us to see that as human beings, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 39, verse 13 and 14, here's what David says. He says, "For you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that well." We are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. It says, "And then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." Folks, each one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Now we know that God is a Trinity, three in one. There's God the Father, God the Son, that's Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. God is three in one, and there's a lot of mystery around that. Obviously, we'll never understand that as human beings, but God is a Trinity. And just like God is a Trinity, we humans who are created in His image are also a Trinity. We are made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow," that's your body. "It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." As humans, we are made up of a soul and a body and a spirit. The body is obvious. It's our physical body. Our soul is our inner person, our mind, our emotions, our will. And a spirit, that's the part that connects us with God. Now, some people feel, if you do some reading, that the soul and spirit are really different terms for the same entity, and they would say a better way to say it is we're a mind, a spirit, and a body. But today, just so we're all on the same page, we're going to use soul to describe the inner man, our emotions, our thinking, and our decisions. Now, let's look at those three areas, our body, and our spirit, and our soul for a minute. We are physical beings who are fearfully and wonderfully made. David says, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." It's amazing that David wrote these words in the days before there were CAT scans and x-rays and scopes that could really look into the human body and see just how amazing it was. Even without this incredible technology, David observed his body and realized that he was fearfully and wonderfully made. We are God's creative masterpiece. I mean, think about it. Your body started out with a tiny egg no bigger than the dot on the letter I. And from that tiny little egg, you developed into a human being consisting of 206 bones, 650 muscles, 10 vital organs, 20 square feet of skin, 60 trillion cells, and 96,000 kilometers of blood vessels. Did you know that the average person produces 23,700 liters of saliva in their lifetime? Don't say you don't learn anything here. That's enough saliva to fill two large swimming pools. Think of that. Just gross you right out. And did you know, I didn't know this, did you know every human being has a unique tongue print? That no two tongue prints are the same? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And what about your brain? The human brain is an amazing example of God's creative power. It weighs about 1.3 kilometers. Kilometers. Yeah, this isn't going on the web. It weighs about 1.3 kilograms, and it's made up of billions of neurons. In your lifetime, your brain can store 1 quadrillion bits of information. That's more data than is stored in the world's largest computer. If your brain was a computer, did you know it would have the capability of performing 38 trillion, that's with a T, trillion functions per second? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, there's an immaterial aspect to the brain that is difficult for us to comprehend, which brings us to the second part of our being, our soul, our inner person. In the Bible, the word mind is used to describe the inner person when it's talking about our thoughts. The word will is used in the Bible to describe the inner person when it's talking about our choices or decision. And then in the Bible, it uses various words to refer to the inner person when it refers to our emotions. From a biblical perspective, we could say that our inner person has three major components: your emotions, your will, and your mind. Now, have you ever thought about your mind? Have you ever asked yourself, what is the mind? That question has baffled theologians and philosophers and scientists down through the ages. Are our thoughts and perceptions merely products of neurochemical changes and electrical discharges in our brain? Or is our mind something more, something immaterial? The Bible teaches that our inner person, not our brain, is a source of our thoughts and intentions. Thus, from a biblical point of view, the mind is something immaterial that is intimately connected to our physical brain. In other words, the brain is the physical organ that allows your mind to function. Or as one philosopher put it, the mind is a light bulb, and the brain is a socket into which the mind is plugged. Or as someone else has said, the brain is the hardware and the mind is the software. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the Bible also tells us that we have a third and even more amazing level of being, and that's the spirit. In our inmost being, we are spirit. And it's through our spirit that we have the opportunity to be in union with God. Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit itself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." We are beings that are designed to be in intimate communion with the very creator of the universe. Now, here's what I want us to grasp. As human beings who are fearfully and wonderfully made, we are very complex beings, unlike any other living creature. We are a union of a physical body with an immaterial soul and immaterial spirit. Look at this diagram that's coming up behind me here, and it uses the word mind, where we're using the word soul, but the outmost circle represents the body, which is in contact with the earthly environment and the soul, or mind as it says there. And in our bodies, we connect to the physical world, or through our bodies, we connect to the physical world through our senses, right? And then the middle circle is the soul. And that's connected to the body through the functions of the brain and the nervous system. And it's also connected to our spirit, which is the inmost circle. Now, that diagram's way too clean, because the spirit, the body, and the soul are all very interconnected. Anything that happens to one part of us impacts the other parts of us positively or negatively. For instance, in our body, what happens in our body affects our souls and spirits, right? I'll give you a couple examples. Physical pain. Physical pain can create negative thoughts and emotions. It can also impact your spiritual life. For those of you that know me well, I have a bad neck problem. I have a herniated disc, which now is beautifully herniated on both sides. And it creates some really significant, nasty, chronic pain at times, like really nasty. And that affects your emotions and your thoughts, but also affects your spiritual life, because you're in so much pain, you just don't want to think straight, you don't want to pray, and it impacts who you are. Let me give you another example. Your brain chemistry influences your moods, emotions, and behaviors. Husbands, say in the middle of the night, for some weird reason, maybe you're watching too much CSI, you give your wife an injection of methamphetamines in the middle of the night. Will she act normal the next day? No, of course not. Why? Because her brain chemistry has been all messed up. And if your brain isn't working right, you won't be in your right mind. So what happens in our physical body impacts our soul and our spirit. And what happens in our soul impacts our body and spirit. For instance, when you get mad, inner man, emotion, your blood pressure rises, your cheeks go red. When we were kids, I always knew when my dad was about to blow because his neck veins would pop out, and it was like, okay, he's mad, he's going to go get out of the room, right? And what happens in your spirit affects your soul and body. Look at it this way. When we submit ourselves to Jesus and our spirit connects with the Spirit of God, that allows the Spirit of God to then transform our minds. And as our minds and thoughts are transformed, the result is an ever-increasing display of godly behaviors through our bodies. Now, let me also say something here that I think is important for us in the West to understand, because we don't always get this. That neither the body, nor the soul, nor the spirit in themselves makes up a person. You are a body, soul, and spirit. You don't have a body, you are a body. You don't have a soul, you are a soul. You don't have a spirit, you are a spirit. And we misunderstand this because we think that we're spiritual beings inhabiting a physical body. And that one day we're going to croak, our body's going to get dropped in the ground, our spirit's going to go to be with Jesus, end of story. That's not the end of the story. Let me say this. You were originally created as a human being to inhabit where? Not heaven. You were created to inhabit where? Earth. We are created as human beings to live in a body here on earth. We are made to live here. The earth is our home, not heaven. We were created to have a body and live here on earth. That's why we are a body. We are a spirit. We are a soul. That's who you are. All three of those make up you. And when you die, yes, your spirit goes to heaven, but that's not for eternity. If you read the Bible, you get to see the end of the story. And what's the end of the story? When all is said and done, Christ followers will one day live with God on a new earth in resurrected bodies. Now that really weirds you out when you think about it, but that's what the Bible teaches. Because as human beings, we weren't meant to be just spirits. We were meant to be spirit, soul, and body. Originally, humans were fearfully and wonderfully made with a body, soul, and spirit, and they were all working together. They were in perfect harmony, in intimate communion with the creator of the universe. But then we know what happened. Sin entered the human story, and the consequences of that completely altered everything. Our communion with God was impacted. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin separated us from God. That meant our spirit was no longer connected to God's spirit. And boy, would that impact the human body? Would that impact your physical body? Would that impact your soul? Of course, the way you're created, you've been disconnected. Disconnected from the spirit that gives life. And not only when sin entered in were we disconnected, separated from God, but it also brought illness, including mental illness. And remember, as I've been saying, your body and your soul and your spirit are intricately interconnected. Thus, when illness impacts one part of your body, it impacts all parts of your body. And so when we talk about mental illness, we need to understand that mental illness impacts the entirety of who we are. And that's why, folks, a person struggling with mental illness needs a holistic approach to treatment that takes into account all aspects of his or her being. I was reading about a person's journey through mental illness, and the author quoted Ecclesiastes 4:12, where it says, "A threefold cord is not quickly broken." And then the author said the three cords to her treatment were a spiritual cord, a psychological cord, psychotherapy and counseling, and a physical cord, medication, exercise, and diet. And I think that's a good way to look at it. If you're struggling with mental illness, if you've got emotional struggles, there's a psychological cord, there's a counseling cord that you probably need to address. And I beg you, if you're struggling, please don't listen to the oversimplifications. You'll get over it. A caffeine-free diet will cure all your anxiety. You may get over it. And a caffeine-free diet may lessen some of your anxiety symptoms. People say, just pull up your bootstraps. Snap out of it. Don't listen to those oversimplifications. Listen, no amount of diet will change. No amount of diet is going to change or cure a soldier who is struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder because he saw his buddy blown up. I want to say to you, because we in our culture have a stigma in the church about this, there is no shame in going for counseling. There is no shame in saying, I'm struggling and I need help. None. As I mentioned to you last week, I've struggled in the past with anxiety and I've got a lot of victory in that area now. But part of my journey, which I'll talk about next week, part of my journey was I went to a counselor, sat down and said, help me explain my growing up environment so I can understand it, so I can get victory over it. There is no shame in going for counseling. And yet, when one Christian says to another Christian, yeah, I'm seeing a counselor, suddenly it's like, oh. Do you feel that way when somebody says, I went to the doctor today? No? Then we shouldn't feel that way about people that want to get healthy. Now, I'd say this, and there's some controversy around this, but this is my pastoral perspective on it. As a Christ follower, if you're seeking out a counselor, remember the goal of psychotherapy and counseling is change one's thoughts and behaviors. Therefore, I recommend that a Christ follower seek out counselors that have a similar faith to theirs. If you're a follower of Jesus, seek out a Christ counselor who is a Christ follower. Here's an organization I recommend. I don't do this often, but I recommend these. Arbor Counseling, they're just over here on Quadra Street. They're amazing. Sent a lot of people there. Had a lot of good results from the folks there. It's a Christian counseling agency. If you need some help, there is no shame in going for counseling. Arbor Counseling Center, you can look them up on the web. And they're a great organization. There's a second cord to dealing with your human body and your spirit and your soul when you're struggling with mental illness, and that's the physical cord. And I want to talk today around the idea of medication. In an online survey of nearly 300 Christ followers who were either mentally ill or had a family member who was mentally ill, 25% of the respondents said their churches either discouraged or forbade the use of psychiatric medication. Here's a question to ask yourself. Is the use of medication to treat mental illness a sign of weakness, or is it a sign of a lack of faith in the healing power of God? Here would be my response. I would say no more than using insulin for diabetes minimizes God's healing power or is a sign of weakness. No more than using a pill to control your blood pressure is a sign of weakness or a lack of faith in God's healing power. Sometimes you need to take medication for mental illness. And there again, I want you to hear this. There is no shame in that. No amount of counseling will cure depression if it's caused by a hormonal imbalance. In a couple of weeks, when we talk about depression, you're going to see a video interview with my wife. And one of her, because I talked to you about her hormonal depression she went through a little bit last week, you'll hear more about it in a couple of weeks, but one of her big lessons that she would tell you, she's going to tell you, is if you are depressed, take your medication. And at times, medication can act as a bridge to get person from point A to point B. I had a discussion with a physician some years ago, a Christian physician, around the use of medication for mental illness. And he said, what we often do, he says, is we medicate people to treat their symptoms so they can get to a place where they can deal with the cause of their mental illness. I thought that's a good way to look at it, that sometimes taking medication for mental illness will abate the symptoms to a point where you can cognitively deal with the cause of your mental illness, if it's causative, in a way that can be dealt with. And then through counseling, you can deal with the cause, and then you can get off the medication because the symptoms will go away once you treat the cause if it's a seasonal thing. Hopefully that made sense to you. Listen, a great number of people suffering from mental illness have found positive and remarkable results using medication. And I want to say again, there is no shame in taking medications as part of a comprehensive treatment protocol. None. And here's the last cord. It's the spiritual cord. A huge piece of health in the mental health journey is getting right with Jesus. Because, see, we're separated, right? And when I get right with Jesus, and when I say yes to following Jesus, and when I apply the work of Jesus on the cross, now God's spirit and my spirit are reconnected like they're supposed to be. And when I come alive to God and He comes alive to me and our spirits are connected, it says in the Bible that the Holy Spirit then comes to reside in you. And when the Holy Spirit is in you and when your spirit is connected to God's spirit, amazing transformation can happen. And if you're struggling with mental and emotional health issues, let me encourage you to get right with Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to lean on Him, to obey Him, and let Him be your refuge and your strength. Don't limit what God can do. After all, we worship a God who came to set the captives free. And let me remind you, I think this is important, that if you're struggling with mental health issues, if you've got emotional issues that you're struggling with, that doesn't mean you're not a faithful Christ follower. Understand that. Remember Job in the Old Testament? What does it say about Job? God looked at Job and said he was blameless and upright. He was a spiritual guy who was walking with God, but then he had all this terrible stuff happen in his life. And you remember Job's there, and you would say Job was depressed. Maybe it was situationally depressed, but Job was depressed. He's curled up in a ball. He's sucking his thumb. At least that's how I picture it. And he's saying, I want to die. I want to die. Life hit him, and he's down. But I want to suggest to you that Job was still upright and blameless in the eyes of God at that moment. He was just human. And don't ever think because you struggle with addiction or you struggle with depression or you struggle with anxiety or any of the other mental illnesses that are out there that you're struggling with a mental illness that you're not a faithful Christ follower. You can walk with Jesus through and in your mental illness. And for those of you that are struggling with lifetime stuff like schizophrenia, or you know somebody who's struggling that way, I want to remind you that what isn't healed on earth will be healed in heaven. that your struggle is not the end of the story. Revelation 21:4 says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. There's always hope. And next week, we're going to move off the two-week introduction, and we're going to move in, as I said earlier, to specific areas. And next week, we're going to look at anxiety, and then we're going to follow it the week after by depression. And the Bible says a lot about anxiety, and we're going to dive in and see what the Bible says about anxiety. I'll share my journey with you as we look together at God's Word next week. But as we close out today, I just want to say you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Broken, yes, all of us in this room are broken. But that doesn't mean you don't have great value. Let me close with this illustration. How many people would like this $50 bill? Some of you don't want it. What's wrong with you people? This is $50, my hard-earned money. You don't want it. Okay, end of illustration. Okay, for the few of you that actually do want this money, I woke you up. I know that was the shock. For those of you that want this $50, if I was to crumple it up, how many of you still want it? Okay. More of you want it now than when it was crisp. What's wrong? Now, I'm not going to do this, but if I was to spit on it with my cold-infused bugs and then stomp on it on the floor, how many of you would still want it? Why? Do you know why you'd still want this? Because it's still valuable. Right? And some of you are sitting here today and you've been stomped on by life. You've been spit on by life. You've been hurt. You've been confused. You've been crushed. And you struggle every day with mental and emotional issues. And I want you to know you have not lost your value to God. And that you are loved, you are valuable, and you are precious in His sight. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's pray together. God, I pray as we continue this journey that all of us in this room will know that even though we're broken, even though we struggle, that Father, that you look down on us, and to you we're loved and we're precious. And we're valuable. God, I pray that we would understand that we are complex beings, that you have made us, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're made with an inner person. We're made with a spirit. We're made with a body. And those three components make us us. And yet we live in a broken world where we get sick, where we experience brokenness. And God, I just pray that we'll be a church, again, that will shatter the stigma. May there never be any shame in this church for someone to admit they're going to counseling or taking medication or dealing with stuff that's tough. But may we follow your example, God, and may we say to people that come in here, you're precious and you're loved and you're valuable. In Jesus' name, amen.